Wait, but guys, sound off in the comments below.
Sound off in the comments below.
All right, welcome back to Sound Off in the Comments Below on Saturday.
Yeah, happy Saturday.
Cheers happy to Saturday. The freaking weekend.
Yeah, this isn't the norm. Obviously, this normally comes out on Friday, but if you listened earlier this week, you know that my son's been off from school all week, and it's been really hard to do anything.
Yeah.
So this had to be pushed, but we didn't want to push and skip the whole week.
I know, so much has happened.
There's so much that has happened, and we need to sound off.
Absolutely.
First and foremost, I think the most obvious is the Tortured Poets Department. As a non-Swiftie, I have to ask you, Jackie,
yeah,
as a Swiftie, what do you think the consensus is? How are people receiving the album? Because I wonder, do you hear things differently than I do because I'm not in that world?
Well, so what's your consensus?
No, I need to hear yours first.
Okay, well, so my consensus is I like it a lot, but I think the criticisms of it have been fair, and I don't think this is an album for people who are not Taylor Swift fans to become a Taylor Swift fan with this album. I think this album is, I think Taylor wrote it the way she wanted to write it and get all of her feelings out from the whirlwind of 2 years that she's had. And she's at the top of her career. And I don't think she gave a fuck if anyone liked it or cared about it. I think the criticisms that it's very similar sounding to a lot of the stuff that she's done before is fair. It does sound like that, but I like that sound because I'm a Taylor Swift fan. So I'm like, yay, more. And I think the criticisms that it's very long and very dense and it takes like a lot of listens to really get everything, also fair. But again, as someone who is a Taylor Swift fan, like I like that experience. So if you like Taylor Swift, and I think this is probably her most raw and vulnerable album, like it really feels like you were just reading this girl's like chaotic diary from the past 2 years of her life, right? Like it's the first time she ever breaks the fourth wall and really talks about how famous she is and how that's affected her. It's the Maddie Healy, it's the Travis, it's the Joe, it's all of that wrapped up in like a messy, chaotic bow. And so in that sense, I like it. I think the fact that it's called the Tortured Poets Department leans into the craziness of how crazy it is, because it's like, these are all little poems. These are all little vignettes of experiences that she's had. And the whole theme of the album is, I'm a crazy lady and I literally can't stop writing because I'm tortured. So in that sense, dropping 31 fucking songs and it's messy and it's all over the place and it's vulnerable, I like it. I also acknowledge it's not the music to set a vibe. Like, you're not going to play this at the club. You're not going to play this, like, at a pregame when you're getting ready to, like, go out with friends. This is the type of music to put on your headphones, go for a contemplative long walk around a beautiful area of New York City and look at the buildings and reflect. And for that, it is the perfect length, a gorgeous 2 hours for a long, gorgeous
Hot girl walk.
So those I think are all my formal feelings. I think if you're not a Swiftie, you're not going to like this. She doesn't care if you don't like it. She's at the top of her career. She made what she wanted to make. But I think the people who have been following her for a long time are fed.
I actually feel like that's a really, I like how you described all that.
I've been thinking about this for like a whole week. I really have marinated.
I've been thinking about it because I knew that we were going to have to talk about this and I wanted to collect my thoughts.
Yeah.
Before I go into my take on things, I do want to address, like, guys, touch grass. If you are, like, hating on people for having an opinion on music, just think of it as, like, okay, it's if someone doesn't like the album you like, that's okay. But also, if you're that obsessed with Taylor, it's more Taylor for you. You don't have to share her with as many people. I don't get why people, like, are so mean about it on the internet. Like, I've never felt so, like, I don't know, thinking back to my childhood, I really loved Britney Spears and, like, would dress up like her all the time and wanted to be her.
Yeah.
And if someone didn't like her, I, like, literally didn't care. So I just don't get the mindset of feeling like I need to, like, defend someone I don't know. That being said, this album is not for me. I think you've explained it perfectly, though, that, like, she doesn't care. And she's so famous now that it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's going to be the number one album anyway. She has such a hold on her fan base, and that's so incredible.
Why don't you like it, though? Why is it not for you?
Okay.
If you want, like, fun summer bops, this is not the album for you. So if that's what you're looking for.
I will say it's not her lyrics, although I thought it was funny that people thought the leaks were AI and they weren't. But it's not her lyrics. I agree. She's a lyrical genius. Mm-hmm. I actually thought the Golden Retriever line, I say it in the episode. I think it's cute. Mm-hmm. I acknowledge that some of the lyrics are funny, like the Grand Theft Auto. I think it's funny. But I think her lyrics are either genius. Like there's something about, I don't know what song it's from, but it's like hair tucked into a woven braid. And I'm just like, what the? You are just like, the way your mind goes is so crazy to describe things. It's brilliant, truly. Mm-hmm. So she's either genius with her lyrics or she's cheeky and joking. I think that's what, like, touch me while your bros play Grand Theft Auto. I don't think she's seriously writing that. I think she's cheekily,
yes, if that's a word. You. Yes, because you have to look at it from the perspective of the narrator and in the context of the song. In that song, she's talking about how she's like giddy and happy because it's like high school. And what did you do in high school? You would like be giddy and like be making out with your little boyfriend while you're all in the basement watching a movie. And then someone else is like, and sometimes her lyrics aren't perfect. I think people could pull out things that are like not the best lyrics, but I think also people take a lot of her stuff out of context of like the vibe that she's trying to give off in the song. And sometimes she is trying to give off like a more immature girlhood, like, wham, why doesn't he like me vibe? And that's okay. But like, I don't think she thinks that that's a smart thing to say. I think in the context of the song, that's what the narrator in this, to display this emotion, was thinking. So.
Right. And so it's, for me, it's not the lyrics.
Yeah.
But I think from what I'm seeing, like in the arguments online, it's a lot of people saying like, you just don't understand the story and the lyrics and blah, blah, blah. For me, it's not the lyrics at all. Mm-hmm. I don't think the sounds are pleasing to the ear. I feel like a lot of the songs, and granted, I didn't listen to the entire album, but I clicked and clicked and clicked and clicked, and I was waiting for like a hook or like a catchy tune, and I didn't get one. But I did find myself randomly having some of the stuff stuck in my head. So I was like, I don't know. It's just not something. I'm surprised because I actually feel like a majority of her music is always very catchy. And some people are using, I don't know this, but some people are using synth pop. What is that?
Yeah, that's kind of like what her style is with Jack Antonoff specifically. Like anything that's a Jack, like, because Taylor, I think, ranges, but like her Jack Antonoff stuff is like the very 1989 sounding. It's like music that's more like electronic sounding, right? Like you know what I mean? And that's very Jack Antonoff. And I think that's why people are criticizing, because she works with him all the time. Did you listen to I Can Do It With a Broken Heart? I think that one's a bop. You don't think that one's catchy? I'm walking around all day listening to that one.
No, I mean that I've listened to that one, and that one is one of the better ones. My favorite is So High School. Mm. I think like, but that's like,
I think it's fun.
That's like more upbeat. There's more variations of notes. I feel like a lot of the other ones, while it's very, it's just very melodramatic, and I understand that's because it was a place in her life where she was feeling that way.
Yeah,
but it's a lot of repetitive
notes. Jack Antonoff, and that's been what a big criticism people have been saying, like, maybe stop working with Jack Antonoff for a little bit to get a bit of a different vibe and sound. And it's funny you say the So High School one is one of your favorites, because that's not a Jack Antonoff one, that's a Aaron
Weird.
Desner one. So that's been a big criticism. People are like, all right, enough with the Jack Antonoff. That is like his sound. I think that's a fair criticism. People want to hear something new. But I think she knows what she likes in her sound. She knows clearly who she likes working with. She has a really good relationship with Jack. So they just keep making music. And she's like, I don't fucking care. You guys are going to eat it up regardless. So that's fair, though. I think that's all normal to say that.
And a lot of it had to do with the actual sounds, not her her music or even her singing. It was like the actual music behind her singing I didn't enjoy. Like, okay, people submitted that they wanted us to talk about Thank You, Amy. I want to like Thank You, Amy so much. The people that are like, oh, get over the Kim Kardashian thing, I'm like, no, keep it going, I'm here for it.
I like that song. It's definitely not my favorite. I also think too, something I don't love to do with her, like, I feel like everyone is obsessed with like, okay, which one's about Travis, which one's about Maddie Healy, which one's about Travis, which one's about, what the fuck is his name, I keep forgetting, Joe, and Kim. And I think I don't like to do that because I think, you know, you can write a song about an emotion from like a multitude of different experiences, and it doesn't have to be so like literal. Like, this is literally an exact experience I had with only Maddie Healy. It's like, you don't think there might be some heartbreak feelings from the Maddie Healy and the Joe of it all, and she can combine those things into one song. Like, that's what how art works, and there's metaphor and you exaggerate things to make a point. So I don't like to always think about it so literally. And with the Kim thing, that was the one song where I was kind of like, are we looking at Taylor Swift the artist, or are we looking at Taylor Swift the billionaire CEO, right, marketing genius right now? Because part of me is like, are you really not over it, or do you just know that putting Kim in the title like that is gonna make you like break the internet and everyone's gonna write an article about you? I don't know. Maybe she is just like petty and still not over it and wants to write a fun little song and did that. Cause she does have the history in her old stuff. She would capitalize letters in the lyrics booklets that you would get like in the CD to kind of give hints to her fans of like more context of what the song was about. So like, she could be doing that, or this could totally be a song about someone else, something else. People are saying like it could be a red herring and it's actually like about Karlie Kloss or something.
That's just so weird if it's about someone else and you put Kim in capital
because
letters,
but she knows she's, but that's how she makes it to the top of the charts and is constantly like the most Googled person always. You know what I mean? She's a marketing genius. She's a business.
Sure. I think she's going to make it to the top of the charts anyway.
Yeah.
So I don't think this is needed. I feel like the people that are like running with like in general with her history of music. Oh, this is about this person. This is about this person. Outside of like Dear John and like the very obvious ones, we don't really know.
Correct.
Right? Like, it's not like, so everyone is saying with such fact that this is about Maddie Healy and this is about whoever. And like, while I understand there are some that are very obvious, but like, the ones that are not obvious, if it's just about heartbreak, for people to say this is about this person, how do we know? Like, I wonder, did you lay in a bed while Travis's friends played Grand Theft Auto and you guys hooked up under the covers? Probably not.
Right.
Like, you guys are billionaires.
It's a feeling. You're it's not, a vibe. Yeah, exactly.
Where are you? I literally thought, I was like, where was Taylor and Travis where they couldn't go into another room and hook up? Like,
right,
because
right,
you guys
right.
are in, like, a penthouse suite, I'm sure, at all times. It's not like you're in a dorm.
No, I
get
know.
That, like... But I do think people listen to her music and think that, like, everything she's saying is what happened.
Totally. Right. And I don't like to subscribe to that. Guys, like, art can have metaphor. Art can pull from different experiences. I like the Thank You, Amy song, though, because I kind of look at it as, like, if anyone's ever had, like, a friend breakup or, like, some sort of, like, falling out with someone, to look back on that experience and be like, oh, I'm actually, like, better off for that falling out, and like, look at me, I'm like killing it now, and I like reflecting on that and realizing that it was like for the best. That's kind of why I like it. I think it's like nice in that sense, but it's not my favorite song.
I do think it's funny that she says in the song, like, you haven't changed much, so I changed all like defining features. I mean, but you put her name in the title,
right?
Someone said, actually, wait, so I watched a TikTok and she was like, it's not about Kim. It's about someone from her high school that used to bully her, because the line says, the spray tanned statue in my hometown. Something like, and she's like, it's someone from her hometown. It's not Kim Kardashian.
But again, like, guys, metaphor. Like, it's like she is
a statue because she's
a
like
statue
so,
because she's so like prominent in the industry and in the world, in the towns that Taylor literally runs it. Like, Taylor's a billionaire who lives in New York and LA. And like, yes, Kim is very influential in those areas and in those spaces with other artists and people in media and entertainment. Like, guys, learn what a metaphor is, please. It's not always so literal. And we don't know. It could be literal. There could literally be a statue of the girl that bullied her in high school in her hometown in Pennsylvania. Sure.
And her name is Kim. Maybe her name is Kim.
Maybe.
Kim Smith.
Kim Smith.
Probably.
Ugh, hate that bitch.
What a
Kim
bitch.
Smith. I think what you should try to do in the summer, go to the beach, put it on, and walk for a full 2 hours and reflect on your life. And then maybe feel differently. But also, I don't want to pressure you. I was having a conversation with my other friend, and she also really doesn't like, she's really into music, but she does not really like the Taylor stuff that much. And I was going back and forth with her about it because I was like, oh, well, she like really likes music and likes this discourse. And she was like, okay, but you need to stop because you're trying to convince me to like it. And like, I just simply don't like it. It's not for me. And I was like, oh, sorry. I thought you like liked the back and forth with it. So I don't want to be like that annoying person who's like, no, you just don't get it. It's like, okay, you can get it and not like it. And it's not for you. And that's fine.
Right. And I just feel like that's a more normal approach than what I'm seeing. I'm well aware that millions of people are obsessed with this album, and that's great. It just happens to not be my favorite.
I do find myself needing like a break from it though. Like I listened to it like pretty constantly when it first came out because I really wanted to like absorb it all, and now I'm just kind of like, I don't want to be like in a sad reflective place all the time. So I feel like now I've been taking a break from it, but I'll come back maybe like over the weekend when I want to take another long walk. I'll put it back on.
Is it helping you through your journey?
I think so. I mean, I think I'm kind of over my little blip, guys.
Well, because someone did write and they said, how's Jackie's heartbreak doing?
That's the good thing about heartbreak about people you literally never dated. You bounce back pretty quickly. It hurts for a couple of days and then you're like, all right, I think it's fine.
Okay, someone submitted something about Danny Tanner, Jesse, and Uncle Joey. They wanted to do it like a marry, fuck, kill. But I need to go on a rant about Uncle Joey for a second.
Okay.
Do you know who I'm referring to? Because I know you're a child.
Oh my God. Okay. Full House. I know Full House.
So, okay, guys, it's not Uncle Joey. And I don't care how many times you say that he's the uncle because he's the best friend of Danny Tanner. I'm well aware. On the show, they've never, ever called him Uncle Joey.
Really?
It's Uncle Jesse. Yeah. Jesse is his brother-in-law. Yeah. Joey is just his friend from college or I don't even know where, but his friend, his long-term friend. So now in 2024, when people reflect on the show, people are like, oh, Uncle Joey, because they just think he's the uncle because he was the best friend. You are making that up and you are rewriting history. Never once on the show do they say Uncle Joey, and that is such a pet peeve of mine. And sometimes I wonder, like, are you even really a millennial if you call him Uncle Joey?
Well, I'm a millennial and I didn't give a lot of thought as to whether he's
now that I've
or
educated you, do you understand?
Yeah, I understand that, and that makes sense.
Okay. And then also when Uncle Jesse says have mercy when he kisses Becky and Becky.
Yeah.
I guess I don't I know it obviously means something like sexual because everyone always like cheers after he says it. But what does have mercy mean?
I think it means like, because like, I think it means like he's like thinking inappropriate thoughts. So he's like, oh, have mercy. Like, and so to like God, it's like, God, forgive me. I'm being bad.
Oh, I've never fucking even thought about it that way.
I just pulled that out of my ass and like just used context clues and guess. I don't know. It could mean something different, but that's kind of how I've always interpreted it. Like, oh, have mercy. Like, oh no, I'm in trouble here. Like,
wait. So it's, I just Googled, what does have mercy mean? It says to treat with kindness and forgiveness.
Right. To God. He's saying it to like God.
Like I'm getting a boner over Aunt
like
Becky,
literally.
So, like,
yeah.
Forgive my sins.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. I think that's kind of how I'm interpreting it.
No one thinks that's a little bit inappropriate for the kids show.
Well, there's a lot of things inappropriate on kids shows.
Well, that's true. We went into the whole quiet on set thing.
Well, yeah, but just in general, I feel like cartoons like to throw in a little joke for the adults watching.
Have you ever seen King Triton get a boner?
Like from The Little Mermaid?
Yeah, that's like one of the main ones. He gets like a big rager. Yeah.
When?
Hello. Are you kidding? You don't know this? Little
no.
Mermaid boner.
But like, what is he getting a boner for? Ursula?
Disney had to cut an erection from The Little Mermaid.
I know the thing with The Little Mermaid with the castle in the back where people say it looks like a penis.
Oh my God. Okay, so this isn't King Triton. This is the guy that's marrying The Little Mermaid and the guy, Eric or something?
Ooh, yeah.
His bone.
Oh.
Like, why was that necessary to add that in?
Yeah, that is not necessary.
So.
Ew. Okay, that's not King Triton. Okay, that's different. But
No, but I'm pretty sure King Triton also gets a boner. Everyone's getting a boner in this
movie.
I'm going to see.
I don't know. People always talk about the castle in the back. And that is King Triton's castle.
What's the castle?
That it just looks like a penis. The castle that's on the cover.
All right, well, marry, fuck, kill Danny, Joey, and Uncle Jesse.
I don't know. I don't really want to marry any of them. Or no, I want to marry Uncle Jesse.
Well, I'm going to fuck Uncle Jesse. I know, like, you're supposed to choose the second best for that, but I would like to fuck him.
Right, but not be married to him?
No, yeah, no. I mean, right? So should I
just
marry
him then? Yeah, I think you should just marry. I was going to marry Uncle Jesse.
I'm going to marry him then.
I don't know. I guess, like, fuck Joey, kill Danny Tanner. Danny Tanner is just like a cheese ball. Yeah, I don't know.
But he's, are you kidding?
If it's
Joey's
always Joey.
Not a cheese ball. Like, Joey's way worse.
I kind
worse.
Of hate Joey. Yeah, but I don't know. All right, fine. Fuck Danny
also,
Tanner,
like,
I guess.
I'm sorry. Hold on. Same. Can we analyze, though, like, this storyline? They're like three grown men who are voluntarily living together. Like, Jesse voluntarily lives in his brother-in-law's basement.
Yeah, to help
with
him
his
raise
wife,
the kids.
With his wife, though, towards the end, and two kids. Like, at what point is Uncle Jesse not being like, hey, like, it's about time I get a place of my own. But mm-hmm. Joey's even worse because Joey's not even blood related, hence why he's not the uncle. And, like, he's just living there with all his puppets, just like chilling and totally
to help
fine.
With the kids, because Danny Tanner can't do it all by himself.
At what point is it like no longer helping Danny anymore, though? Like, Danny gets his footing. I think, yeah, when the mom first dies and they help him, sure, for like a couple weeks, maybe a month or two. Not
a month or two.
10 years. I'm Danny. You could do it. Like, you could do it. You're the host of Wake Up San Francisco. You could do anything.
I know, but I guess after a while, it's just kind of like they all get along well and they have enjoy each other's company. I'm like, let's normalize multi-generational households where like we don't all need to have our own place and all be paying rent on apartments like so we can all live alone, you know?
This was before rent was like $8,000 a month too, so it was probably a fucking steal.
I know, but it's like if they're all getting along and it's fine, then.
But like Joey really
it's kind
was
of
like
nice. It's fun.
Was he a park ranger or was that a bit?
I don't remember.
Ranger Joe.
Yeah, no,
Ranger
I remember
Joe.
That. But
he's the funniest guy you know.
Wasn't Ranger he on like Joe? A show where he was a ranger?
Like on the show he was on the show?
Yeah,
the show?
Yeah, yeah. Because he's a comedian.
He's a comedian,
know.
But like he never did. Like, did he do stand up? Like, what was his job?
Cut
he
it just had, out. That's all he
right.
did.
Right. But he had What's the main puppet? Mr. Woodchuck.
I don't remember. I haven't watched the show like, in a very long time.
That's what he did for work. Like, that's how he paid.
Well, that's why
he contributed.
He has no money. He can't buy his own apartment. He has to live with Danny.
So Danny should have a sit down with Joey and be like, dude, it's about time you send out some resumes. Like, no one's paying you to fucking talk like a woodchuck anymore.
But I think he liked the
and
help.
Are you a camp counselor? Where was Joey's room? Am I blanking on that? Because, like, Joey always.
Wasn't it in, like, the basement?
Jesse was in the basement. Jesse was in the basement.
But at some point, I think Joey was also in the basement. And Jesse
and
was
Joey,
in the
Jesse
attic?
Moves to the attic.
Yeah.
Like, if you have, there's not enough bedrooms in this house and you have to live in an attic, you should move out. Or
I, you know, I
do
know.
Some
I'm
renovations.
Against, I'm adamantly against. I think they should all live there together.
You don't think it's weird? Okay, if you started dating, okay, you meet Joey
mm-hmm.
on Hinge.
On Hinge,
and he's
okay.
like, hey, where do you live, Joey? Oh, I live with my friend, not even my blood relative. Mm-hmm. My friend, his three daughters, my friend's brother-in-law, his wife, and their two twins. You wouldn't be like, I'm getting the fuck out of here?
I don't know. As someone who like literally like lives alone, I would think that would be kind of fun to have like
you
a
don't
whole
think that
household.
Would be totally polar opposite of what you like alone time then clearly.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, sometimes.
You wouldn't get it in this house. It's full.
You can't close your door and just have some alone time?
I bet Joey doesn't even have a door. Knowing him.
I don't know. I think there's a, like, I don't know. You grew up in a house with like all your siblings and parents at one point in life. Close your
I'm
door when you
40,
want alone time.
I'm not a 45-year-old man not paying rent, though. Like, yeah. He's just concerning. At least, like, Danny contributes to the house because he's always cleaning. And he's the host of a talk show.
Yeah, no, he makes
he's practically
makes
famous.
Bank. Yeah.
He makes bank. Did he, and he, is that how Jesse meets Becky? Because it's, Becky's his
yeah.
co-host.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I think so.
I could go on a deep dive of Full House forever. I don't know how well you know it.
I mean, I used to watch it every single day after school. I do know it. I just haven't watched it in a long time.
Remember when Danny is dating Vicky?
Mm-hmm.
And like, aren't they supposed to get married, but they don't get married? Why didn't they give Danny
I don't
a
remember.
Happy ending?
They didn't get married? Vicky? No, I think they did get married. I thought they got married. I love the episodes when they're in Disney World.
Me too.
And then he proposes.
Michelle's princess for a day.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, wait. So Danny... Vicky, did they get married? During a trip to Disney World, Danny asked Vicky to marry him. She says yes. However, Vicky gets her dream job anchoring the network news in New York, so she cannot come live with Danny and his family in San Francisco. And nor is Danny able to uproot his family in California. It sounds like Gary and Teresa.
So true.
You guys should just live long distance for the rest of your life. It's totally fine. Okay. Someone wrote, you can interview one person in Bachelor Nation that has to be 100% honest and can't skip a question. Who do you interview?
Peter Weber, I think.
Ooh, that's such a good one. Well, yeah. And what would you ask him?
All the timeline of like the messiness between Hannah Ann, Madison, Hannah Brown. We never got a clear answer on all that.
Yeah, because he was like, ugh.
He's like, it was so long ago. People don't want to hear about this. I'm like, yes, they do. You were the Bachelor.
I someone that's coming to mind, not like I necessarily, this is a random one, but I feel like Kaylin, because I would want to know if like, because she would never probably want to be asked this question or admit anything, but I would like to say like, did you ever really like Colton or did you know what you were doing? Yeah. Like, did you ever, like, I just feel like a lot of what I thought at the time when watching that season was that it was a lot of like playing the game and not so much. Like, I remember when she didn't get chosen as the Bachelorette or Hannah was just announced as the Bachelorette, Kaylin spoke out and was like, yeah, I could never do the Bachelorette. Like, it's not for me. And she made it seem like she wouldn't have wanted it. Mm-hmm. But then after hearing all the behind the scenes and knowing that she very much like was shooting her shot and trying to audition to be the Bachelorette, it's just some of the stuff. I think it's different what people say behind the scenes versus what they put out to the public. Mm-hmm. So maybe her. But I think Peter Weber's a really great choice.
Yeah.
Because you had like so many questions for him. And then
I know, and we would always say on the podcast before, we're like, one day when we interview Peter Weber, we're going to ask him all these things. Then we couldn't ask any of it.
Someone wrote, Clemence wants you to do a deep dive on Wet Blanket Energy and Victoria's breakup. What do you mean deep dive on Wet Blanket Energy, though? Like, do you not know the story?
I think she's saying she's calling Greg Wet Blanket Energy. Deep dive on, like, Greg and Victoria's breakup.
Oh, she's calling him Wet Blanket Energy.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I mean, I think the deep dive, he just went on
Jason's podcast. Jason's and talks podcast. A little bit about it. I don't know if it's that dramatic. It seems like they just... It didn't work out.
Yeah, and, like, it seems like they have a respect for each other that they're not going to just, like, throw each other under the bus. So I don't know how much of a dive there is. It's a very shallow dive. Be safe out there.
Yeah.
But I think this has been the case for a while, and maybe it's just about – like, I've said this for a while. Like, when it's new, you don't want to necessarily tell the world because it's new and you're upset. So I think this has been – the case for a while. And do you think he'll call Clemence back?
Been there, done that with Clemence. No, I don't think so. The distance was too hard.
What a time. Like, there was a period of time where we would like look up this Paris model who we don't know and don't know anything about her, but just solely because
and watch her story and see like where she was. We'd be like, oh my god, she's in New York, guys. They must be hanging out.
Wait, okay, so someone, we always get messages, people want us to talk about Vanderpump. And I'm seeing so much about it lately, especially we're coming to the reunion soon, right? Are you keeping up with the new season?
Yeah, I have been. I think there's a couple more episodes, but they were talking in this episode about going to San Francisco, and I know the finale's in San Francisco, so I think we're coming up on the end.
Okay, because I am in season 10. Mm-hmm. I've skipped a couple. I really am anxious to like get to the present day, so I've kind of skipped a little bit, but I'm in season 10, and when I tell you, it is so fucking entertaining now to know what's about to happen and see it, because like I didn't get why – well, obviously a cheating scandal's crazy regardless. I didn't get why everyone was so mad at Raquel. And now seeing how into the group she was, like, it is actually psychotic.
Have you gotten to the point where she literally says to Ariana and like has a conversation with her about their sex life and you know they're fucking the whole time? It's wild.
No, I would recommend, like, if you are a huge Vanderpump fan, go back to season 10 because it's such a different watch now. Like, I wanted to actually ask you because, oh no, you didn't watch it until Scandoval, right? So you're different.
No, but we all knew that this was happening because the affair was announced like back in March, and then season 10 had already wrapped filming. They had picked up the cameras to catch like the aftermath of the scandal breaking. So that was like the end of season 10 was that. But everything else was wrapped. So we all watched season 10 knowing how it was going to end and knew that Tom and Raquel had something going on the whole time.
Wait, so it wasn't airing yet is what you're saying though? Like season 10, you start watching and you already know in real time the ending. Okay, that's what I wanted to ask because I'm like, it's so crazy to think like if someone watched it for the first time without knowing how different of the show it would be. Because I wrote a note to myself to ask you, but then literally like in the middle of the episode, I realized the answer. But I said, the edit of Vanderpump season 10 before Scandoval, did people think that Tom liked Raquel? Because the edit I was seeing is insane. And then literally in the episode, it's like, Tom and Raquel were dancing at the Abbey and blah, blah, blah. And like, even like Lisa calls him out. She's like, why are you so happy? Like, you're smiling a lot because he was sitting next to Raquel. There's so many moments that like sprinkle it. And to know that like at that time, no one knew except the two of them and maybe Schwartz. Like,
right.
All the people filming didn't know. Yeah. But the editors still took it upon themselves to like air it that way, but without knowing.
It makes me wonder if they like re-edited things once it broke out to show more of like the buildup of that. But yeah. But it seems like
why were they so
the audacity though? Like, Raquel literally bought a lightning bolt necklace for herself, like on camera. And they would both have their little matching lightning bolt necklaces that they would wear while filming. I think that was part of like the allure of the affairs. Like, they were doing something like in plain sight, literally in front of everyone. There's also scenes where like you can see, I think it's during Sheena's wedding, where Tom like grabs Raquel. Like, Ariana is standing there. She turns around to talk to someone for a second. And then you see Tom like grab Raquel's ass. And they have like a little moment while Ariana is looking the other way. And then Ariana turns back and then they're just like standing there again. It's a
show that audacity.
Yes, they're doing it in plain sight while they're being filmed. It's wild.
I'm so excited to go back. I've watched the reunion more than once. Like, I think that is one of the most brilliant pieces of television I've ever watched in my entire life, the season 10 reunion, which I watched blindly after getting educated by you. And I was so into it, and that's what made me start the whole series. I'm so excited to watch it again now, though. Like, after seeing, like, I didn't realize, because, like, I don't know. I was going off of, like, Raquel dating James at first when she had those crazy-ass contacts and long blonde hair. Yeah. I'm like, this is the bitch that everyone's upset, like, obsessed with? Like, this is crazy. There's no way this girl started that much of a fire in this friend group. And then, like, she cuts her hair and takes out the contacts, and all of a sudden she's, like, a new woman. She's, like, she's all that. Like, take off your glasses and you're a whole new woman.
Well, she also, like, got some work done too.
What did she get done? I can't tell.
She probably got a nose job and lip filler and maybe like some cheek filler.
Because she looks gorgeous.
Yeah. I mean, she was always a beautiful girl, but she definitely did a couple things.
But the short hair makes me want to get short hair. It looks so good on her. People are like, is that what got Tom? Because remember when
she cut her hair to be like Ariana's short hair. I know. It's weird.
When Ariana first cut her short hair, I remember on the show Tom being like, your hair looks so good. I fucking love this hair. It's so hot. And like was really into it. And Ariana looked fucking awesome too. So I wonder if like that's like a weakness for him.
Yeah. Well, I think she did it intentionally knowing she wanted to look like Ariana. Because then there was also conversations about like her being like in a throuple with them. So it's like, yes, it was the Tom of it all. But yeah, there was a lot of like weirdness around her, like closeness with Ariana and her trying to be like so much like Ariana that she even wanted like Ariana's man. It was very strange.
I just don't get why they didn't stay together. At this point, I would have Tom just and supported Raquel? It. Yeah, just like you ruined your lives. At least have each other now. I think it's so weird.
Back and realizes like how manipulative he was. I think he wants to be with her. I think she didn't want to be with him once she finally went to the mental health facility.
I equally blame her just as much, especially like the fact that this season, and I'm watching it as a first time viewer, her whole storyline is that she's a homewrecker and that she doesn't respect relationships. She steps over boundaries. She'll put a man's attention before her friends. And it's like the foreshadowing is insane. So like, I don't feel like Tom is more to blame than her. I think she's equally to blame. She's well aware of the fucking situation.
Yeah.
It's not like how the whole mistress thing keeps coming up and how it's being compared to Lala. And like, it's not you didn't know.
Right.
You knew. You knew so much that you were asking details to the woman. So like, I just feel like you're just to blame as much as Tom, that you guys should have just joined forces and at least had each other for the rest of your lives.
Yeah, but I think once she like started working on herself in the mental health facility, I think she like maybe realized and that like that this is like not the way to go about things.
Well, I would like to see her back on the show. I think
no way.
I think the fact that you decided to start a podcast versus rejoining the show, I don't think that was the best move.
Dog. Financially, sure. Yeah, but like for her mental health, probably it was the best move.
Could I know, imagine, but do you think she would go back? Do you think there like will that? Be a season 12? People are like really criticizing this season, which I'm not there.
Yeah, I think there will be a season 12. It's the highest rated show on Bravo. So for all people saying it's so bad, it's like, nope, well, it's still doing really well. So I think there will be.
Then I think she should come back now. I think if she's feeling mentally well enough, and maybe go into it like, I don't know, Kristen Cavallari going into season 5 of The Hills. Go into it as a job. Don't like to take your emotions out and just go into it knowing that like you're going to make so much fucking money.
I don't know. I think that's hard though. Like she's going to get destroyed.
Will she at this point?
Yeah, I think so. By like Lala and Sheena and Ariana.
I don't know. If they film season 12 next year and you're still yelling at this girl over something that happened years prior. Guys, everyone cheats on this show. Literally every single person except like Ariana and Katie.
Yeah.
Have cheated. And there's been storylines around you. And everyone moves on. I mean, Jax cheated on Stassi and then they're hanging out, besties. Kristen fucked Jax.
Also, The Valley apparently has been... I've been watching The Valley a little bit. I haven't watched the most recent episode, but apparently it's getting really good. So if anyone wants to watch it, go for it. Because I'm going to now catch up a little bit. I think I may be an episode or two behind.
Me too. No, I thought the exact same thing because I saw that so many people were saying this sucks. It was boring. It was a slow start. I really just think it was a slow start because they had to introduce so many people in storylines. But apparently, the last episode, which I saw a clip of on TikTok, they're like physically all fighting in a hallway.
Yeah. No, Kristen Doty is like reality TV gold. A producer's dream. I love that woman and will protect her with my life.
I've loved her from day one. The first episode of Vanderpump, I'm like, I'm obsessed with this girl. And I've never gotten why anyone didn't like her.
Well, because she was like a psycho with the Tom what? Stuff. No, I know. Made great. Great television. And the fact that she's like now 40 and like obviously has grown so much, but is like still doing this messy shit. I'm like, I love it. The queen.
It's so good. I actually, speaking of Vanderpump reunions, season 2 reunion sticks out in my head as one of the best ever when Tom and Ariana come and they're holding hands and Kristen's like, is this a joke? Is this a joke right now? I have to sit across from them and watch them hold hands. And she gets up and walks out and I'm new, fresh viewer to this series. And I'm like, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
I know. It's so
I can only wish for more Kristen Doty on my screen. So I will be starting The Valley again. Although like I did ask someone in a random message thread because I was reading something that said The Valley was getting really good. I was like, can I start a few episodes in? Because I really don't want to watch the boring shit again.
Why don't you just put it on like while you're like doing something else, like eating dinner? So you're at least absorbing the stuff with the characters, but you're not like sitting down trying to watch all these new people that you don't know. Okay, it's only like one or two episodes before it starts getting good.
Apparently, Brittany is like healing from a surgery, though. I saw a clip. Did you see this? And she said, like, she's healing from a surgery. I don't know why you would get a surgery that close to
Her chin. She got work on her chin. Yeah, something.
But it didn't heal by the time she had to film. And she said, I feel so bad for her. She's like, it's my biggest regret in life that I didn't give myself enough time to heal because she literally in the episode, like, her mouth is frowning, but she's not frowning. And it's back to normal. Mm-hmm. I just feel for her because the people that don't know that think that that's like
how she normally is.
I just feel bad.
It does look
that
a little
sucks.
Crazy. She should have waited, but whatever.
And she's such a beautiful girl, like naturally. Oh, I love that woman.
I know. I can't wait to see all the stuff with her and Jax because that's been kind of been like hinted at that they're having problems on The Valley. So we'll see.
All right. Well, those are all the submissions we have for this week. Like you guys know, I don't have any time right now. My son is at some like camp thing and I have to go pick him up in like less than 2 hours, but I have to edit this first. So let me go and do that. See you guys next week.
Yeah.
We have some really good guests lined up for you.
I know. It's exciting.
Guys. I'll give you a hint. Zach season.
Well, they're all off contract. So yeah, we are.
Yeah. Well, so I'm just saying like who from Zach season do you want to hear from? And maybe you'll hear from them from us.
Yeah.
Is that it, Jackie?
I think that's it, Stephanie.
Okay. Have a great weekend, guys, because it's Saturday. Goodbye, Yay. Bitches.